Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another special edition of Let's Talk for Work. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, we're going to ask you to please click, tag, and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking to the Echo Heights Stop 6 Environmental Coalition, who says Echo Heights is under attack from urban environmental domestic terrorism from the city of Fort Worth. This community is inundated with 186 industrial companies that bring air, soil, and noise pollution into this community 24 hours a day. This community has for too long, they believe, been a dumping ground for the city of Fort Worth. Many residents of Echo Heights suffer from miscarriages, skin conditions, leukemia and other cancers, asthma, migraine headaches, limb amputations, and other diseases they believe are connected to the companies that surround their community. So tonight, we're talking to them about the fact they're fighting back. But before we begin, a disclaimer, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, the host, or any future advertisers. With that said, let's talk Fort Worth. I see a portion of my guests are on the line. I'm not certain where the others are, but I'm going to open the line of those that I do recognize. So good evening, Twin. How are you? Anthony Twin Harris, good evening.
How you doing there? I'm Antonio Twin.
Anton, what did I say? I'm sorry.
No problem. Okay. Life is great. And we are glad to be on the show and excited about what's going on and what we're doing as far as dealing with the community and bringing city and community together.
Okay. All right. I see Ms. Letita Wilburn, as she says everybody calls her T. Good evening, Ms. T. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? And thank you for hosting us on the show tonight. I hope that it's very informative. It should be very eye-opening and jaw-dropping what's going on in Echo Heights. We've become the community that has truly become a dumping ground, and tax abatement has committed community genocide within this community.
We're going to get to that tonight. Absolutely. I see Martasia James is on the line. Good evening, Martasia. How are you?
Hi, it's Martasia James. Yes, ma'am. It's me.
Okay, Martasia James. Okay, I'm calling everybody's name on tonight. I apologize. I see Crystal Wilbur. We're going to get it right tonight. Crystal, good evening.
Hello, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm good. Now, someone is calling me from a number they did not give me. So 682-352, you did not give me this number as a call-in number, but I'm going to come to you. 682-352, good evening. Who are we speaking with?
Good evening. This is Sheena Polk.
Hi, Ms. Polk. That is not the number they gave me for you. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. We're absolutely good this evening. All right, y'all. Now that we're all on the line, let's get started because we got 2 hours to get where we're going. Ms. T, we're going to start with you. We understand that all of this started because of you. So tell us, what was the catalyst that made you say enough is enough?
Well, putting trucking companies behind homes, and the city decided that it would be okay for a crane company to move behind homes within the community. Keep in mind, there's already trucking companies there and a trash company right across the street. So I sent an email to the NAACP, and they did respond back. And then that's what started everything in motion.
Okay. So that's how it all got started. But was there a lot going on before you sent the email to the NAACP? What was going on?
Well, we took a look around the community behind the elementary school by the park, and the community has just become a dumping ground for the city. We realized that back in the 90s and early 2000s, then we found out, it went back to the 70s, that the city came on numerous occasions, numerous decades, to remove all the prairie dogs. We have a park out called Prairie Dog Park, and it's called that. It's named that because of the prairie dogs that used to roam the park. And I say used to because the city, over several decades, beginning in the 70s to the 2000s, they came multiple times to remove 4,000 prairie dogs and move them to a safe location. Then they started building a lot of industrial things around, and we noticed that people started dying, losing hair, having miscarriages, like you said, limbs amputated, brain ailments. And this epidemic, like, you will have neighbors next door to each other dying from cancers and other illnesses. And went back and forth to the city.
Let me ask you something for clarity, because Ms. T had to make me aware, because I've never heard of a prairie dog, y'all. I thought it was something like a collie. So explain to them what a prairie dog is.
It's a small animal. It's actually in the squirrel family, and everybody knows that a squirrel is in a rodent family. So they are rodents, basically. That's what they are. They're in the rodent city. Put the safety and care of 4,000 rodents over the safety and care of a community of approximately 705 homes. And so when you start to think that the city care more about a rodent than they do black and brown people,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's something.
And Ms.
That's
T,
not
Ms.
good.
You're the secretary of the Echo Heights Stop Six Environmental Coalition, correct? That's your title.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, and somebody else has joined the conversation. Let me find out who number that is. I'm sorry, give me 1 second. Miss, I think that's Gina Bird. So we're going to find Miss Bird on the line and open up her phone line as well. Good evening, Miss Bird. We understand you are with the NAACP Fort Worth.
Correct. Yes, I am.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We're going to go to Antonio Twin. Twin, you know, you first brought this show idea to me. So that said, you ran for city council in 2021. Had you been elected, how do you think you would have addressed the situation in Echo Heights?
Well, I mean, just like with all things, you know, first of all, we need to see what's going on in our community. And, of course, my thing is to make sure that community understands a city, because I believe that there must be an understanding between the two. One of the things that, you know, we know and recognize is that, you know, by the time we see what's going on with us in our community, it is where we have to fight our way out of something or some type of disenfranchisement or what have you. But for me, you know, of course, I would first of all put a stop to it and find other ways to make a means for the business of city to make money other than dealing with the health of its citizens. My thing is, I believe it's not just the fact that these companies are in this area, it is infected with different type of chemicals and what have you that makes it toxic, that much more dangerous, or I consider deadly. Again, so that's what I would do. I would, you know what I'm saying, of course, spread things out. You know what I'm saying? So it won't be concentrated in one particular area, and especially where it becomes dangerous for the citizens. So, yeah, that's where I would start.
Gotcha. I see Ms. Tina James has joined the conversation. Good evening, Ms. James. How are you?
Well, and yourself?
Thank you. I am good. We're going to go to Martasia James. Ms. James, you are the president of the Echo Heights Stop Six Environmental Coalition. That said, the same question to you. You ran in 2021 for city council in District 5. This is your district, or this would be your district. How would you handle what's going on in the Echo Heights community?
Thank you for asking the question. How would I have handled the companies being built within the area? First off, when my resident, the neighborhood, brought it to my attention, I wouldn't have put it off as far as addressing it and getting it, so we wouldn't be in the situation that we are in now. I would take the feedback which I'm getting from the community and seeing what is taking place. As Matisse said to you before, this is not a first time addressing this, and we see the studies that have taken place as far as air quality, the soil, and then just hearing other people's testimonies as far as their health staying in the area, and then from going back and forth and getting petitions as well. With that being brought to me, if I were city council, I would have just killed it right then and there. My residents, neighborhood, their voice is more important than having a company and receiving any type of funds for a company being within the area. And let's not forget about our kids who we know are the future. If we put this in front of the school, what message are we sending to them in reality? Okay, put money first and kids and health second? That doesn't make any sense. And I ran on the platform of being able to be the voice for the community. So I will be that voice for the community that was bringing their concerns and issues to the forefront. Moving these industrial companies to different areas, as Twin stated, and also not rezoning residential areas that are labeled as residential areas to like industrial to fit the need for different companies.
Okay, there's also Crystal Wilbur, the Secretary of the Echo Heights Toxic Environmental Coalition. Good evening, Crystal, again. You're the Secretary. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. You're the Secretary over there for your organization. That said, do you feel, based on what you've seen so far, that the city appears to even care about what's going on over there?
I think the decision that they made to side with the community is showing. I'm sorry, I'm battling COVID right now, so I'm a little winded.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
What I was saying is I think the decision that the city made in siding with the community is showing a start that they do care enough to I'm really winded. I'm battling COVID. I wasn't planning on speaking tonight.
Okay, then I'll tell you what. We understand. We absolutely understand. We'll just put you back on mute, and you can just listen to the rest of the show. That would
okay,
be fair.
Thank
I did
you.
Not know. No one told me that Crystal was battling COVID. I apologize. I'm going to mark that. Okay, let's move to Sheena Pope. Sheena, you are the liaison for the community and also Echo Heights Neighborhood Association member. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Ms. Pope, I will phrase that question to you then. Do you feel like the city is showing that they care at all about the plight of the Echo Heights community?
Well, no, I don't feel that they are showing that they care. One thing that will prove it is the action of the city. And I understand that Leon Capital, they were not able to put the trucking company across from W.M. Green Elementary. However, now that everyone knows that the land is for sale, my hope is that no one else will try to come and put another industrial company across the street from the elementary school.
Gotcha. Okay. Ms. Sherry Duke, you are the president of Echo Heights Neighborhood Association. Can I ask how long you've been the president of that neighborhood association?
Ms. Dukes was unavailable.
Oh, she's not. Okay, unavailable. Okay, y'all just got me all these names, and these people are not even available to talk. Okay, thank you. I'm going to put her phone back on mute as well. I apologize. Tina James, good evening.
I'm here. My phone hung up a minute ago, but I called back in. Thank you for having us, by the way.
Oh, no problem. Tina, you've been, doing videos about the things that are going on in Echo Heights for a while. They initially brought it to my attention that some things were happening all over there. So how long have you been in that community, and do you think things are getting worse each day, or is the city doing anything to appear to be trying to help out with the situation over there?
So the answer to your first question, in the Echo Heights District, I've been there since 1993. And so as it relates to me thinking that the city is doing anything to improve community is no. As Mrs. Polk made the statement a minute ago about how we won against the Leon Capital Group, well, when we first went to the city council on this behalf of that area, not just that location, that location, they was in the process of receiving a yes to go ahead with allowing them there. And to myself and some other people showed up, Mrs. T and myself and other community leaders showed up, and then they gave us a 60-day continuancy, and then we came back and we won. But we had already mentioned this to the community about these different things that are going on in our community as it relates to them constantly want to dump different types of pollution and commercial-type businesses over in the community. They feel as though that Echo Heights is just a dump site for all of the commercial type businesses and industrial businesses. One of the things the young man stated at the city council was that the trucking companies and all the commercial companies was over there before W.M. Green. Well, W.M. Green was brought over in 1959, September the 7th. So that can't be true. He said 95. Well, no, yeah, he said 85. If 85 was there, then that's not true either. The trucking company started coming afterwards when the city felt that it was okay to allow them to go there. As a community and people that are sitting on board that makes decisions for our community, then they should be talking to the community first, especially when they never take the time to come over to the neighborhood or walk through the neighborhood or meet any of the people that stays in the neighborhood. And then it's not until we come to city council and we have to keep arguing with them. Well, your job as a councilman is to represent your community and the constituents that are in it. But when we come to you and you still deny what we're asking, that's a slap in the face. You're basically saying, hey, I'm here now, and I don't have to do what you say or help you out in any way. I get to make my own decisions, whether you like them or not, but it's not for the best of the community and the families that stays in them.
Gotcha. Ms. Gina Bird, you're with the NAACP Fort Worth, and I understand also you're environmental expert. Have you seen anything like this in your time of doing this? A community like Echo Heights that has so many different things going on at the same time?
Yes. Unfortunately, I am a transplant here in Fort Worth. I am actually from Chicago. I'm a military person, so my background is Marine Corps. I traveled around a lot. In all of those states that I have, it is a common thing with what is going on in our black and brown communities. They have been treating, and this is not just here in the state of Texas. So, yes, in our black and brown communities, this stuff is happening nationwide. So it's not just restricted to Echo Heights either. We have several other communities in the Fort Worth area that are experiencing these high dumping grounds, these high pollution areas, these different they're rezoning and putting new residential areas into industrial, like was stated. But this is not an isolated event in the world of NAACP. This is happening in a lot of other communities nationwide.
Wow. You know, Ms. T, we talked last night about the fact that the area code 76104, which is the south side, has been considered an area per some survey that has the lowest life expectancy in the entire state of Texas. That said, don't you think that Echo Heights should be higher on that list?
I would believe so, because Echo Heights is surrounded by 287, Interstate 820, and Interstate 20. That by itself is pollution. Then coupled with that, the city has added over, the last count we had was 186 industrial businesses. They've since added businesses to the community. So we're closer to 200 industrial businesses in a community of 705 homes. Each business has pollutants, and they have toxic pollutants. I know the city said that they were bringing jobs to the community, and this is not a slight to truck drivers. I have truck drivers in my family, but all they brought was trucks. And with all of these industries that came, these industrial businesses, they have trucks, and then they opened their lots to other trucks. So then it becomes thousands of trucks in a small community. So it's not only pollution, but even as you're driving, it's like a game of Russian roulette because there's trucks everywhere. You're having to avoid trucks, duck trucks. You'll see kids standing on their bus stops, and you'll see a big 18-wheeler passing by. And the trucks are, what, 13 feet high, 80,000 pounds. The average height and weight of an elementary kid from pre-K to fifth grade is probably 30 to 100 pounds, 3 to 4 feet to maybe 5 feet tall. So there's no way those trucks will be able to feed the children. So there's so many things going on here. So I think, yes, I think we will rival 76104. I know that in 2012, two children had an asthma study, and Echo Heights actually ranked very, very high in that asthma study. And the thing of it is that the city of Fort Worth knew about it, but but they didn't care enough about the children of the community over here to say anything about it. They continued to add industrial businesses, you know, one right after the other, even put up a whole warehouse without community consent. Like, for example, one month you see cows on this particular field. The next month you see a TCEQ sign out, and you're wondering what's going on. Basically, the city told the community with the warehouse that they didn't have a say in, that they didn't have to tell the community anything. So pretty much that's one of the things. So, yes, I think Echo Heights would rival 76104. I think that would be a neck-and-neck race.
I believe you're right.
During the deaths and illnesses.
I think you're absolutely right. Antonio Twin, with all the industrial companies in the area, there's, I understand, either 186 or even above that, compared to 705 homes in Echo Heights. That said, is it of a situation in which maybe you all can ask the city to cap off allowing any more industrial companies to come in there, period? And the fact that you all are already inundated with so many already, that you all ask that it be capped and no more be allowed to come in there, and maybe the area rezoned for no more industrial companies to come in?
Well, of course, that's the goal. And the goal is to, first of all, get them to stop completely. Stop.
Okay. Yeah.
And then about face. What I mean by about face, so what we need to do once we get them to stop infecting us and polluting us and killing us, what we need to do is go back and make sure that those companies that are there are in compliance with health codes. We need to make sure that, you know, that they are doing what they're supposed to do. And while we're getting them in compliance, we'll continue fighting to get them abstracted out completely. Because, again, it's totally infected and it's killing people. I mean, it's a deadly situation. So again, once we get them stopped, then we go back and we abstract. We fight as long as we possibly can to make sure that we are safe as citizens of that community.
Gotcha, Ms. Bird. You are an environmental expert. Seeing the complaints that have come from Echo Heights thus far, do you believe that the city should have already gone in and done soil samples, you know, air samples to see, you know, water samples to make sure that the area wasn't contaminated?
Yes, and that's not necessarily on the city. That's a part of it, but the companies, from an environmental aspect, that is one of the requirements that they should be doing, is an environmental impact statement to see those things. And just to piggyback off of it, yes, that is a part of the city's job with code and compliance, making sure there are air monitors and all that quality insurance. But unfortunately, that's the issue that we're having in our black and brown communities all over. There is not enough statistics. They do not have those statistics. The city, unfortunately, does not have enough personnel. We've already looked into this to actually complete those. We actually went over to try to research a university, especially for the health statistics in our communities. We just don't have the research. We just don't have the manpower dedicated to it as well. But to directly answer that, the city should have made some implementations in regards to their permits, what was stated already. It needs to be controlled through policy, as well as the permits of how they're authorized to get their permits for their companies. And it needs to be a special attention paid to those high population areas to, in fact, derive or start doing the research over there so you can have those factors. And unfortunately, you do have a lot of, if you go on the Department of Justice, this is where you do most of the environmental cases. And yes, I teach environmental, so there's a lot of governmental information. This is all, you can look it up, DOJ.gov, Department of Justice. There's a lot of integrity violators that are false reporting for our areas. So
So you have a lot of integrity violators that are we have a lot of false reportings from the companies. So that is the issue too. So it needs to be controlled by the city. The city does not need to keep allowing the businesses coming in for financial purposes or whatever reasons. We need to really look down at the environmental impact, and not just within the company, but when the companies are required to get a permit, they should have, in conjunction with their submission, an environmental impact statement that identifies all these things in the area so you can take a risk assessment and, once again, put the people first. So that's what nobody is doing. They're putting profit first, and that's what we have an issue with. Most of the people are in environment are pretty much compromised, and I won't say most, but we have an issue there where they're putting profit over people, and we need to reverse that. We need to care about the people more than the profits.
Wow. Martasia, you're the president of EHSSEC. That said, what kind of response are you getting from the community in terms of the entire Echo Heights community wanting to get on board and get behind you all with trying to get the area cleaned up? Did she hear me, Martasia?
Okay. Well, right now, we've been getting a lot of feedback, positive feedback. We have meetings. We have a lot of people to show up. Also, when we went to city council, we had a lot of people to show up, be calling in, sending in email responses, or actually showing up in person to the meetings. I would like to say that the turnout is a lot different than what I expected. Before, we kind of struggled with thinking that a lot of people wouldn't come or show up to the meetings that were not because of how late the city council meetings are or how some people aren't computer tech savvy. So they wouldn't know how to send the emails in or call in when it was time to do so. So the fact that we had so many people turn out, and we even was able to reach out to Ms. Polk, who is now on the team, and I believe she's a community relations team of part of the coalition now. And so it's nice to see that people, once they are made aware of the changes that are taking place in their neighborhood, and be it if they don't agree or do agree, they're willing to voice their opinions about it.
Gotcha. Sheena Polk, one thing Ms. T said a few minutes ago that is really interesting is that a lot of these companies are getting tax abatements to come in there. Can you explain that, and do you think that's fair to give them incentives to come into an area that's already full of companies, you know, already? Is it fair to bring in more and give them incentives to come in there?
No, I don't feel that they should bring in more due to all of the pollutants that it's bringing to the residents. And as I reached out to the many residents of Echo Heights, we were all in agreement as to not having any of the industrial sites added on to the neighborhood. Yearly, we have a family day down at Prairie Dog Park, and that's how we were made aware of the coalition. She was at the she was present at the time, and she was had a petition for us, and we weren't aware of it, and so we all wanted to volunteer and do what was best for Echo Heights, because we knew that we had many of the residents coming down with different illnesses, and we didn't understand why all the industrial buildings were being built. And so once we realized that our voices could be heard and make a difference, that's when we came together. And two of the neighbors, Ms. T and myself, we actually beat the streets, and we went to every home within our seven streets of Echo Heights and for 2 days in the 100-degree weather, and we went door-to-door to make them aware, because several of the residents had no idea of what was going on. You know how you can receive a flyer and not read it, or some of them did not receive any flyers about what was going on, and they were not concerned about the taxes or any kind of incentive. They were in agreement as to not have any more industrial buildings around Echo Heights.
Wow. Tina James, I think I've spoken with you before about property values over there. How do you feel that this is affecting the property values in your area?
So as the industrial companies keep coming over into our communities, what it does, it inflates the homeowners' property taxes. And it's supposed to be beneficial because they're saying they're bringing jobs over into the community. But as everyone on this line know that as these companies come into the community, they're not bringing jobs. They're just bringing different types of pollution. And even with the Leon Capital Group, those trucking companies wouldn't have had any employees over in our community working there. They come with their own workers. They come with their own equipment, and they're just buying the land and utilizing it and damaging the rest of us with it. So I'm not an understanding, and I actually went to the tax appraisal company to ask them about the inflations of the property tax over here, and they said it's due to all of the businesses that are bringing profit into the community. But as they increase our property tax, it's because most of the companies that are coming over here are receiving tax abatements. Those tax abatements are beneficial to the companies by saying, hey, if you come over into our black and brown community, we'll give you an incentive about not paying taxes for 5 years, 10 years. But guess who has to accommodate those funds that aren't being given at that moment? The homeowners. So our property taxes go up to accommodate the money that the city is passing off to these industrial companies. That's not fair because we don't work there. It has nothing to do with us. And all it does is it's actually diminishing our health, our properties, and our communities. They don't look at that because they don't stay directly in the communities where we're close to these properties, close to these companies. My house right now is 321 feet from a gas well site. And as you know, I've been pushing and fussing about that for the longest. You have these people who try to go to work, try to get up to have a family event or enjoy their families, and it's so noisy, and you step outside and you're tasting these chemicals in your mouth. You're seeing all these trucks running up and down the street. Parker Henderson and David Strickland is a narrow street. It's a two-lane street. And myself and Ms. T has went around there just so we can record the trucks as they come up the street. One broke down before, so guess what had to happen? The traffic became backed up behind that truck, and someone has to stand on the outside so they can see if you can go in front of around the truck in order to pass. You have to sit on the side of the road. So if you're trying to get your child to school or you're going to work or you're just being productive in your community, it restricts the community flow by these companies come over here dropping their pollution over here, and then they go back to their residence like nothing happened.
Wow. T, you told me that the streets, and I think even at your last city council meeting in which you spoke, your council person, Gina Bivens, who I invited, by the way, y'all, and I sent you all a CC'd on the email. I did invite Ms. Bivens last night. I know that short notice, but I did invite her, told her that, you know, some of the things that you all have said were very alarming. And, you know, so she was invited. That said, she mentioned at the last city council meeting that you all spoke at that she knew the streets over there were torn up. That said, if your council person is aware that your streets are being torn up, are you all getting anything done about your streets from the city?
No, the city has not come to repair any streets. Matter of fact, to piggyback what Tina was saying earlier about the homes, you know, they can appraise your home at a certain deal, but when people come over, if you're selling your home, they come and they see all of this industrial stuff over here. Mind you, it's 108 industrial deals. The city also sprinkled a parole office over there within all of that. So people are not going to give you what they're asking for your home. That is going to be a whole lot lower. So the property taxes are not fair. And as far as the streets, no, there are, like I said, there are thousands of trucks over here. Each truck weighs approximately 80,000 pounds. Each company, of the 186 company, each of them have their own trucks, and they open their lots to other trucks. We don't know what these trucks haul. We don't know what chemicals or what are on those trucks to even add to the weight of the trucks. So the streets over here are horrible. Let alone when the freeway is shut down or when they're doing construction of any type close to the community, they run the cars and the trucks through the community. So that further damages the streets. And because, you know, a residential neighborhood is not equipped for freeway traffic, and let alone multiple trucks coming through. So the streets over here are horrible. We actually have one street, Chickasaw. Ford PD does not do anything about it. Code enforcement does not do anything about it. But that street is accessible from Miller Street to 287 Service Road. you cannot go down the street because there's parks on both sides of the street. They're parked all directions on the street, correct directions, wrong directions, and there's holes all in the street. So if you have an emergency and you have to take that to get to the service road, you will not be able to. And like Ms. Bivens said, she knows it's a problem, but once again, the city does not care enough to fix the problem. They continuously add to the problem.
Okay. Listen, I don't know if Antonio Quinn is having some problems tonight with his phone, but his number keeps dropping off the board. Quinn, when I see you come back up, I will open the phone line back up, but I'm not sure what's going on with Quinn. His call is his teacher. I think here we go. They just keep dropping off. Can you hear me, Quinn?
I'm sorry. Twin and I, we're coming out of Missouri, and we're kind of like in the mountains, so the call keep dropping. So no problem. Again, I just got back in. Did you ask the question?
I'm going to ask you a question now. You know, your community is bordered with three freeways. You got 287, 820, and 20 coming around your community. A lot of people would consider that to be a centrally located community. However, it seems like it's also essentially a located area for the truck to come in to your community. So do you think that's one of the attractions for them coming in there is the fact that, okay, somebody's got something wrong. The fact
that they're putting so many over there?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I remember coming around that corner a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and I smelled the greatest stench I ever smelled in my life. And every time I come around that corner there, right there on 20, turning into 820, it sickens me.
Mm.
And regardless to how it seems ideal, when it's deadly, mm-hmm. whose idea is it? So again, yeah, it can be attractive, but is it safe? It can be lucrative.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can be lucrative, but is it safe? So again, not only that, look at what we see. We don't see these companies is benefiting us. They're taking away from us. Why? Because they are here and they're not helping us no way, no how. We don't get jobs over there. They bring their people with them.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, we have to deal with the torn up streets and all that stuff, the potholes and stuff that the trucks and stuff bring with them, can create. So again, it don't benefit us no way, no how as in citizens. It only benefits the private owners and the city.
Mm-hmm.
So again, yes, it is. I mean, it's detrimental. It's unfair. And you know, again, why do we always have to fight? You know, first of all, we have to be aware. A lot of times, I heard you ask the question about, you know, the community. A lot of our people they're not even aware of what's going on. Why? Because most of them are born in that type of environment in the first place. How do I know that something's not supposed to be there when I'm born and it's already there? How do I know that? So this is the way that they go about doing things. Go ahead.
Let me ask a question. When you say you smell the smell when you came off the freeway, are y'all going to investigate what these smells are and to determine how deadly they are or potentially deadly they are?
But
they
should. This is our mission.
Yeah, if y'all are detecting something that you know is not natural, then I think y'all need to figure out where is it coming from and then go and ask the company,
that would be the procedure to do.
That's what?
I'm sorry, am I speaking? Can someone hear me?
Yes. Yes, who is that?
This is Gina Bird in NAACP. So that is what we're trying to chime in. Everything that's being stated when we got that protocol. I'm sorry. This is Gina. And can you hear me?
Somebody's got some noise. Can y'all mute that noise, whoever's not talking? Okay, go ahead, Gina.
This is Gina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, yeah, just to put everything into perspective, what you're saying, I have to stop you right there. So with hazardous materials, that's where we are trying to investigate. We are figuring out what the companies are doing. That is the introspective work that we have to do offline. So I won't diverge into that whole plan. But once again, recommending to go find out what the hazardous material is, that's something of a no-no because that's what we're teaching all around. What you do want to do, if you know that smell, report it. Those are the founding things that everyone needs to start doing. Everything that was stated, you have these companies, the children were born with it. These things are not being reported by our community members. We just established the Neighborhood Coalition as well as this Echo Heights Environmental. We need more momentum from the people to start speaking up. Now, to be a devil's advocate, the city of Fort Worth does have an app where you can report these things, but on their behalf, once again, our people don't know about it. We need to start doing outreach and informing our people of these things. So I have done the research with the city, and the city needs documentation. We've talked about all of these things. We do need the education. So our primary goal for NAACP is awareness, because the community members do not know what to do exactly, and recommending to follow suit with hazardous material, that's where I'm coming in, because this is a delicate situation. And once again, we have to do a certain protocol. Our basic that we should all be doing is outreach, 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 getting together, talking about these things in our community meetings for understanding, so they can know first what the companies are, second, what they're doing, third, and that's not third, what should be first is, what are you bringing into my community? Once again, we are at the city council. We're looking for the LEPC. Please remember these terms. Local Emergency Planning Committee. That is required by the state and the city. The city should have one. That's what we're trying to coordinate wherever they are. If they can hear me, we need to put that together for the city, because it is a requirement under regulatory compliance. It is regulatory compliance under a lot of laws, okay? So that is the primary that we need to all coordinate with, all coalitions, neighborhood, Echo Heights, NAACP, all of us alike, councilmen. Everybody needs to be sitting at the same table discussing this in a strategic manner, and what our base operation and things we should be doing is outreach, getting everybody who we can, knocking on doors. We need the research. We need the research, and we need our people active. Our people are not act to know, so we need that, and we need major, major, major publicity for what's going on in the actual communities, because we are getting dead by the dozens. And those companies are coming in, killing us, what everybody said. It is confirmed, and no one is doing anything about it. Once again, we're caring about the money over the people. And once again, the people needs to come first. There are generations that have died in your community that we've seen. I was walking those streets, too, as well as Miss T and Miss Tina, and we were finding out all of the health statistics. We need to report those, and that's what's not being reported. We are dying from asthma, cancer, kidney failure, high blood pressure. All of those things are statistical, medical, environmental. Number one is asthma. Number two is cancer, and they reverse. Number one and two reverse with asthma and cancer. Those are big health factors. So please, 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 let's get together and meet on a consistent basis. Please, please, please. Let's sit at the table and talk about how we can strategize and change policy at the city councilmen. Councilmen, I will be there to see you. We need to change policy. We need to implement regulatory compliance to policy. Councilmen, if you can hear me, that's what we need to do to change it and stop it so we won't be onesie-twosieing around here in the communities. Let's cut it off at the knees. Not even the knees. Cut it off at the ankles. We're done with it. Let's get it in writing. Let's put it in policy and enforce through the permits. The permits should not be allowed. They should not be allowed. And whatever profit it is, it better be 110% donated to the communities and their families that are there. That's what needs to happen. And I'm off my tangent. My apologies.
No, thank you for correcting me on that. Listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight, we're talking to the Echo Heights Stop 6 Environmental Coalition concerning the fact that they believe that the Echo Heights community is under attack from urban environmental domestic terrorism by the city of Fort Worth. These folks are dealing with air, soil, noise, and possible even water pollution from the nearby industrial companies in their community. If you have a question or a comment tonight, call in at 515-605-9321 and then press 1. That's 515-605-9321 and then press 1. Martasia James, you know, what do people outside of the community of Echo Heights and Stop 6 do to help you all? I'm sure the more the merrier. So what can people do?
What can people do to help us right now that are outside Echo Heights is repost our postings that we have. We have a Facebook page. It's the Echo Heights Stop 6 Environmental Coalition. If you're on Facebook, follow us. We have a Instagram page, which is under construction right now. Mm-hmm. But whenever we post something, be it under the account of the people's names that's here tonight, Ms. T, myself, Ms. Tina, Ms. Antonio, Ms. Polk, if you see us posting anything, share it. Word of mouth is the best thing. Even Fortune 500 companies use this same method today, which is word of mouth, getting their products and everything out, and we're trying to get our product and everything out to everybody so that they're made aware of what's taking place and what's going on literally in our backyard.
Gotcha.
May I say something?
Sure.
This is Tina. And okay, I only wanted to piggyback on the question that you asked earlier about information being gotten out. And I just want to let you know, when you were asking why most of the community doesn't get involved, because they're afraid of retaliation coming back at them. And I can say that from experience, because when I had to start speaking with code a little while later, we started receiving citations. As a matter of fact, one morning we're getting ready to walk out the door. The code officer, Cecilia Bell, is standing on my front porch, and there's an officer down the street. And this was after my husband and myself reported some things that was happening in the community. We went downtown and reported it. We even called the FBI about some of the things that was being happening over here. And when we got ready to leave out the door that morning, Cecilia Bell was on our front doorstep, and she was asking questions. So my husband said, well, why is the police officer here? She said, I didn't call him. And so, but he's sitting here, and it's his first time he's sitting here. He said he came to protect the city code officer. Well, if she didn't call you and we didn't call you, then how are you just so happen to be here to protect her if no one summons for your help? And so then it was brought to my attention, well, Ms. James, you know, you're speaking on your neighborhood association, or you're speaking about certain things that are going on in the community as it relates to code violations. But no one actually ever came to make a solution or create some type of ticket to resolve the issue. It's just that Ms. James is the only one talking about it, and they've had city, this is not dealing with what's currently going on, but they was having secret meetings over here in the community that the neighborhoods, the community wasn't involved in and wasn't allowed to show up at. We wasn't allowed to show up at it because they didn't want us there hearing what was going on. So that's the sad part about it, is that we as a community, we are involved. And it's sad that that's a handful of us, but there's a lot of people who want to be involved. But, of course, they might have a vehicle sitting in their yard, or they place their trash. Ms. Smith stayed on Dillard Street. She came to one of the city council meetings with me, and she expressed her concern about what was going on. The following day when she got home, she had a ticket on her front door because she had one of the chairs that you would probably have in your house, she had sitting out in her front lawn where she was sitting out. This woman is 76 years old, and so she was sitting in her front lawn. Well, she had a ticket saying that her furniture wasn't lawn furniture compliance with what is allowed to be considered lawn furniture, and she got a citation. only, and they didn't even know who she was until she came to council with myself. So was Miss Barbara Caston. She also stays on Walker Street, same situation. She went to council with me. We were speaking about some things that was going on. A little while later, she got a ticket for having her trash cans. You could see them from the front, but the trash cans were on the side of her house. But all of a sudden, now she's getting a ticket because they said that they were visible in the front of her house. So a lot of people are afraid of retaliation when it comes to getting involved with what's going on in the community. They are aware that things aren't right, and they're aware of the behind-the-door scenes that are going on. But at the same time, they're afraid to voice their opinions for retaliation, and a lot of us over here know about that too well. And so with that being said, we're just trying to figure out how can we go upon making the city aware that we have these problems without being retaliated against later. Because that's normally what happens when you say something to them. You're labeled the black bitter woman in the community, and that's what I was labeled as. Because I'm always, you know, I'm always popping videos. You see those videos all the time. When I walk, and I walk through the community all the time. My husband, myself, my kids, we even walk and pick up trash throughout the community. That's nowhere around our house, but we still pick it up. Because we want our community to look presentable. We want it to be safe. We want it to look healthy. We want people to be excited about coming back over into the community. That's why I started Safe in the Six, for people to understand. Stop Six is a safe place to stay in. All you need to do is come back and be a part of it. We can have the same type of amenities that Crowley and South Hills and South Lake have if we took the time to invest back into our properties, our communities, our schools, and our children. So that's what we're pushing. It's not just for us, because eventually the sun is going to set on the group that's here on this phone. It's going to be left up to our children and our children's children to make sure that these things proceed and we get a better community, not just because they throw us scraps and say be happy with this, but because we also deserve the right to have a nice city and community that we can be proud of and show off to our community, as well as to the city, as well as to our children and educators. It has to be done. It should have already been done.
Well, let me ask you for clarity. When you say they're having secret meetings, who is they?
So at one point, there was a neighborhood association over here.
Mm-hmm.
Is my voice loud?
No, I hear you. And then you
the
said...
The secret meeting, I'm sorry, the secret meeting was once Tracy Edwards. He was a community lead over here. There's an association that was Sunrise edition of Stop Six. They had an association, and they was having meetings. Now, this is Stop Six have enough places that you can have your own neighborhood meeting at, but it was being held at the Greater My Table Church, which is Pastor Bowman, and it was being held by Regina Blair. And so we got it. Me and my husband got information that they was having a community meeting because we were fussing and pushing about different things that was happening over in the area. And I can show you photos, videos, as well as tickets and documents where code kept coming to my house. And so there was a meeting being held at the Greater My Table Baptist Church where she attended, and Tracy Edwards was the community activist liaison for the neighborhood of it at that time. And he said, well, you're not supposed to be here, but he let us know about the meeting anyways. And when we got there, we were told we couldn't say anything. And I was like, how can we be community partners or community homeowners and we can't speak about what we're dealing with as it relates to our home and our community? It went so far as to the officer, her name is Trisha Trevino. She was the community NPO over here at the time. She tried to escort my husband and myself out because we were speaking against what was going on. And you have this person up here saying, we have a great neighborhood, but you're not doing anything for the neighborhood. We have 456 pedophiles staying in this community. And then we have small children that are outside trying to play, walking back and forth, and we can't get any support for you to protect our children. Not saying that that's your only job, because I'm a mother and I'm going to protect mine, but at the same time, I'm paying taxes for you to be an NPO over in our community and not just police one house when you come over. She was just always at this one house, and they sit down and have coffee, and next thing you know, we go to council, and here go photos with me. This house has too many bikes in their front yard, so their children are too noisy. They're playing hopscotch on the street, and it's too noisy for me and my mom. These are little things that I can actually speak on from experience that happened in the community. So this is not hearsay. This is from experience.
Wow. Okay. Now, listen, I have to take notes of what you were just saying because, okay, this is what, I mean, for anybody, and I don't know if I made it clear, because I got so many people today on the line, it's hard to really kind of get everything going, y'all, when you have so many on the call. But, okay, now you're saying there's 496 pedophiles in the area. Y'all got a probation office over there. Y'all got waste companies, I think it's four. Y'all got multiple trucking companies, and y'all got gas drilling going on all at the same time?
Yes.
Did I miss
anything? Cemetery wait. We're considered a cemetery waiting to be filled.
Wow. Okay, who's speaking? Who's speaking?
Is actually a parole office, and I also want to say that a lot of people just basically feel hopeless because the city does not inform when things are coming into the community, so you just see businesses popping up, and there's like no addresses listed, no indication as to what business is going there. It just happens. They just start, you know, so the community does not get any notices from the city on a lot of these things. Also, one of the things that I wanted to point out is that Echo Heights is less than 2 miles from Arlington Lake, but there's no shops, there's no stores, there's no restaurants, and you have to drive for miles just to even access the lake. So the city even abuses the community by not even giving us, we can't even walk to the lake. Not that it's safe to walk, but if you could walk there, there's no access to it. You have to drive miles just to even get to the lake. And as far as the trucks, this was brought up before. One of the things that we have to be concerned about, I know when we went to a zoning meeting, I think it was May the 10th or May the 11th, and there was a trucking company trying to go into a predominantly white community. And the zoning commission brought up prostitution for one trucking company. But over here, they have over 180 and thousands of trucks. So what does that say about what they think about this community when you consider trucks, prostitution, human trafficking, a lot lizards, which is men and women that hang around trucking companies to have sex in the trucks. So what does that say about a community like this? Not to mention that. And they say that they're bringing jobs. They're only bringing trucks. And they bring their own people. They're not bringing IT jobs, tech jobs, nursing jobs, engineering jobs. They're not bringing any of those jobs. They're only bringing trucks and pollutants. And I just wanted to make those points.
Let me jump in there. Sure.
Sorry. This is Gina. I wanted to go back to Tina's statement and review that list that you gathered from Tina's statement. Can you repeat that list that you gathered from Tina's statement with everything she collected? You repeated a list. Do you have that? Okay. Can you regurgitate that?
I think I said that, or I heard her say that there were 496 pedophiles in the area. There's a parole office there. There's, I think, four waste companies, multiple trucking companies, and gas drilling in the area.
And you're surprised, and she confirmed all of those things are definitely happening over there. If you want to put an extreme to it, what I labeled it is the quadrant of death. It is very serious over there and what they're talking about. It is a four corner, and all of those things are surrounding them. So when you look at environment, you categorize all of those things. It is very hard to attack it because all of those things, not just the air pollution, not just the noise, not just the health, all of the rest of them, you hear all of those things. All of those are considered environmental aspects, health, social, economics. Okay, so we put all of those under environmental, and they all affect environmental. So my pose to the community, this is a question to the community back and forth. We need to find a list to itemize those so we can attack it as well. So that's a question. How do you itemize those in a priority? Because you have to really tackle all of those things, and they are all individually suited. So how do you prioritize which one you need to attack first? That's for you, Coalition, and that's for you, Neighborhood Association. That is a process that we can get together later, but listen to all those things. That is for the community, too. All of those things are going on in there, and everybody is dying. So put that in your critical mind. Make it extreme. They are dying. in a quadrant of death, in a box, and that's all of those things are there. So how do we fix that? Let's strategize.
Absolutely. Ms. Polk, I think I got some, I don't remember who sent me this email, y'all, and I apologize, but it said that the Zoning Commission during the May 11, 2022 meeting proposed a traffic study to be done. And I just really want to understand, and I'm not making light of a traffic study because I don't even know what a traffic study consists of, but I don't think that a traffic study is going to deal with the air, the soil, and the noise and possible water pollution in your area. So how is it that you all took all the things that were going on in your community to the Zoning Commission, and they came back with the only thing that was needed was a traffic study? And I pose that to Sheena Polk.
Yes, I actually, I became part of the coalition at the end of July. So several things took place before I was the
That was the fluff that they gave. So, Tina,
yes.
Please tell them how that meeting was conducted,
okay.
And it was fluff
okay.
that
so,
they gave.
So that was actually a hoax, basically. But it was one of the Zoning Commission members who actually made the statement about the study, which was done for one day at the least possible time of the most traffic in front of WM Green. They were supposed to be to identify the traffic as it flows back and forth in front of the school to allow the trucking companies to decide what times they should and should not pass through in front of the school at these certain times. So the traffic study was done one day, but keep in mind there's 365 days in the year. There's 9 months of schooling. The children in school are supposed to be in school for a total of 156 days out of the year. Okay, so if there's 156 days out of the year and you have a school that has 589 students in it, from last year, 589 students in the school. You want to put a trucking company in front of the school that allows 100 trucks to park anytime, come through anytime, and you do a study one time during the day when none of the traffic was really flowing. It was a pawn to say, hey, well, we did the study. However, we never got copies of the study. The community leaders, association, coalition, we never got copies of it. But it was done, so they say, but it was only done for, I think, 4 hours. It wasn't even done for a good 8 hours, which is when how long school is in for. So then how do you get an accurate reading for this type of study that you proposed to the city council? How did you get an accurate reading? You couldn't, because the most part of the traffic that should have been running or that would have been running during that time, you didn't do it during that time. So they use that to their advantage to say, hey, there really wasn't a lot of traffic going on because we did a study. But how do you do a study one day for 4 hours in a very, very high traffic situation, because you have the school that gets out for the elementary part that gets out at 2 o'clock, and then you have the parents there, and then there's buses that come through at the same time, and then the kids get out, the regular kids get out at 3:30. Then there's more traffic there. There's more parents there, and there's more cars that are still going back and forth. So, and you're saying your study showed this. That couldn't have been true because they didn't do a full day of study. They should have did it for some more time. Right, Ms. Bird?
Yes, ma'am. That's all confirmed, and that's where we came in.
And this is T. Let me say this. This is T. Let me say this. They actually did it during summer when the kids were out of school for the summer.
No, they didn't. Really?
Yes,
okay,
they did.
So
the first day of summer.
The first day of summer. So let me ask you all, when you went to the Zoning Commission with what complaint, though? What was the complaint?
I'm sorry.
What was the initial complaint? Right. Well, all of them. How many complaints did you take to them for them only to come back with a traffic study?
I'm sorry. We don't have enough fingers and toes for that. We don't have enough fingers and toes for all that. With all of us on here, we still don't have enough fingers and toes for it.
But everybody processed and everybody went and everybody opposed and everybody submitted. That was the ludicrous of it, that they presented that. And that's what we need to educate our community, because they presented that and had nobody like Ms. James, the coalition, had they not been there, those things would have passed. So like Ms.
Yes.
T and other coalitions are saying, we need more advocacy. We need more people out here aware of these things. We need this to be broadcasted a little bit more, because you have more companies coming in and doing those things, and that this shouldn't be. It should be stopped at the city once again, so you won't have to keep doing this because it is detrimental. And they are very aware of that. And if they are not, we do need the research of it. So we need to advocate, so they won't give us the fluff and they won't be able to present that too. So those are all confirmed with what happened with the company. And yes, how did it turn into that? No one knows how it turned into that, because when we got it, Ms. James and Ms. T, they had a very presentable case. They presented, it was environmental factors. They presented the trucks. You hear the statistics as you hear them. That's what was presented. And listen to what came out of it. A traffic study. Okay. All right. This is what we're doing. That's what we did, right? So that's what we're fighting, and that's not okay.
And one thing, I think the end of it said that the research contradicts the city staff report conclusions concerning land use compatibility and comprehensive plan consistency. So what are they referring to? Why does the research contradict the city findings?
So the comprehensive plan is what we've been looking into. They just recently changed the comprehensive plan. I was on this about 2 years ago when we started, and there was no environmental. I have been talking to the environmental department because we were working on another project before this one actually came into be. So that's why I'm aware of a lot of other things. But the city, to be the devil's advocate, in the background, the environmental department has been taking a look at it because they did reach out to us. So they reached out to us. We are very well part of that, looking into that. And yes, they did upgrade the comprehensive plan. So that's what we need to work on, because the comprehensive is not written for those things to be there. It is written a different way. So that's what we're looking into. So we have to add those things in there. Those are the things that need to be added in there. And yes, it's not conducive to their current plan because they did not consider the neighborhoods. Does that make sense? They did not consider. So, yes, we can stop it. We are trying to stop it right now through these talks. Thank you for having it. Let's have more. But it needs to be outlined. And, yes, that comprehensive plan is on the Fort Worth website. It's public information. Go look at it. It's about a 20-page long for environmental. See what we're working with. So the city councilmen, if you're still here, that's what we all have to get together and put an implementation in there for. That's the work of the city council, and those are the things that needs to be looked at. So it does contradict because it's not fair. So those are the councilmen, that's your community councilmen's area. So that's why I was stating that. That's what needs to be tackled at their level, and you hear the advocacy. We already want it. It needs to be there.
Well, and we know the Zoning Commission is appointed by the city council, FYI, for anyone who did not know that. Listen. One thing I know is I never ask for anything that I already don't know what I want before I ask for it. So that said, you know, if I were going before the president and I was asking him for let's just say a smorgasbord of things, I know what the conclusion that I'm hoping for will be. So if the city of Fort Worth were to say to you today, Tina James, Ms. T, what do you all want us to do? Do you already have in mind the answer to that question? If they were to come to you all today and say, how can we fix that? How can we fix this?
Yes.
And what would that answer be?
I think my answer would be, we'd like to be a part of the changing before it happened in our community. Mm-hmm. We'd like to be a part of making sure that the change actually takes place. We'd like to be a part of making sure that you prevent these new industrial companies moving on in our community. And one of the things I don't know if anyone spoke on, which I know Mrs. Polk was very adamant about, was the fact that they changed the entrance into the park at Perry Dog Park, located on on Parker Henderson. There used to be an entrance where you could drive down and you could be right in front of the park and watch your children as they play. Well, they switched that when they changed the street up, and now you have to walk at least 500 yards to get to where your children might be playing it in the park, and you have to park way up the street. We've requested lights. We would like to put a report card together. What do they call it? Like a step sheet. And as they proceed to take care of each one of these items, check it off on the sheet, then allow the community to go behind and make a valid report on it. So we need someone watching, the watchers who are watching us in our community.
Ms. T, what would you ask them for?
For me, first thing I would ask them is to come on to Echo Heights. You know how that commercial come back to Jamaica, how they do that wave? I would want them over here to Echo Heights so that we can take them on the toxic tour of Echo Heights. We actually give a toxic tour over here. And another thing that I would ask them.
Let me stop you there, Missy. Who are you asking to come on the tour? Be specific. Who are you asking? Your mayor, your city manager? Who are you asking to come?
All of them.
So your entire city council, your mayor, your city manager. So you're saying Gina Bivens, Danger Cook, Maddie Parker. I'm sorry,
they just coined it. All of them need to come on the toxic tour. That's the coin of it, for sure.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay.
Yep, they all need to come in. And another thing is that the city is actually one of the major offenders. They are actually, of all the trash companies over here, they are actually one of the people with, one of the companies with a trash company over here. And they actually have the largest, even a drop-off site. So they are actually one of the biggest offenders. And if people put stuff on their lots, they get tickets. If you go to the city light right there on 287 Village Creek, Martin, they got stuff all over that lot. They don't give themselves tickets, but they'll give everybody else tickets. And all of that stuff counts on the street and on their lots. That stuff flows in the air, and it gets in our lungs and our hair and our skin in our homes. Another thing I would ask them is, why is it that I think someone said back in the 70s they decided they wanted to turn this industrial? Well, back in the 70s, some people that live over here were not born. Some were children. Some are now deceased. But then in the 90s and 2000s, they just came with a vengeance and started putting industrial stuff over there. Why not, if you waited for decades upon decades to do this, why not revisit the community and say, hey, like Tina said, do y'all want to have input in this? They waited decades because it was there a long time ago. They decided to act on it 40 to 50 years ago. And another thing I would ask them is, why is it, I'm going back to those prairie dogs again because I'm going to include the Chuck Silcox Animal Shelter. You look at the Chuck Silcox Animal Shelter, the things the dogs and the cats have to play on, and go and look at the park, what the children have to play on. And then with the prairie dogs, why did you think enough to remove them to safety, but you have a whole elementary school and you do not build homes around it? You build industrial parks around this elementary school. Why are you all so cruel to do such a thing? And that's what I would ask them. And I wouldn't even stop there. I would go across to Emmanuel Nursing Facility. You have older people, some are in their last days of life, some are on oxygen, medical issues. Why would you put a gas thing next to that and then a whole big trucking company, a whole big lot of trucks? Nobody knows what's on those trucks. And across the street behind the Eugene McCray Community Center, you're going to put more trucks, and all those trucks are going to be behind homes. If you already know that it's all these problems with all this pollution, why are you doing this to the children of W.M. Green, the people in the nursing home facilities, the community of Echo Heights, the other communities, and people that want to visit Eugene McCray Community Center? You know it's all these issues. Why are y'all still allowing more trucks over to this area? Why don't y'all do an audit of all the trucks over here? Have each company give you an audit of their trucks so you can see just how many are in these areas.
Okay. And are not in compliance.
That's all I have to say.
Easy.
I hope
Tina
heard you.
Hello?
Is this Hortasia?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay.
I would say I would like to ask them to create a committee to where people within different neighborhoods or communities are able to be on the board or give a input on the comprehensive plan that they are creating, fixing, or editing in the future, or that they're making for new neighborhoods that they are creating. Because as the city has said before, recently Flower Mound was on the news because a trucking company and construction company was trying to be built within their neighborhood. They took it to city council and they denied it right then and there. It wasn't a keep coming back and forth. If the people within the communities are bringing things to y'all attention and y'all are doing this in their neighborhood, they should be sitting on the boards where they have some say-so or able to give some type of feedback into what's going on where they have property and own homes in.
I would suggest to y'all that the next city council meeting where it's public comments, that you all fill the chambers. And that's the way you get things done downtown. And I've been watching city council meetings regularly because we report on them on this show. I suggest one of these city council meetings that you will absolutely pass the chambers. Antonio Twin Harris, question. Back to what you were saying about that smell. I thought about this. Are you all at all concerned about how these companies, these waste companies, are disposing of their waste? Is it a possibility that they're illegally dumping some of the waste in the area, and that may be part of what you're encountering?
Yeah.
Well,
is that a rhetorical question?
Right, the dumping, man. The dumping is, you know, I mean, they are dumping the waste in the community with the companies itself. That's the dump. Regardless of them, the companies dumping the waste, the companies are the waste. So again, you know, we always dealing with the disenfranchisement of our community. And if I was to answer that question that you just posed, I would say I would want for them to make the east side mirror or twin the west side. Treat us like you treat them on the west side. Because we know and understand the ills and stuff of our communities. We live it, breathe it every day. But again, you know, us pointing those things out is something that our people must get engaged, of course, like I always say. Politics are for those who are paying attention. So our people are not paying attention and not involved with what's going on, and this is why we are treated the way that we are treated. I mean, I've heard Ms. James say, stop six ills, a safe community. Well, I don't know, because sometimes when I see police in that community agitating the people, the way that they do, I mean, get behind with five car loads for one traffic stop, of course, I don't know if that's safe or not. So, again, this is the disenfranchisement. I had a run-in with code enforcement this week, and they said that they were told to more or less highlight high crime areas. In other words, they are actually dealing with the high crime areas. With code enforcement, are we already having to deal with all so-called crime that is imposed upon us? Well, of course, no. So, again, we have a battle with city, period. So, you know, my mom used to say all the time, once you get over one hump, you got 100 more to get over. So, again, we got a lot of humps ahead of us. And this is the type of platform, this is the type of communication and speaking and talking and bringing aware of concerns and the ideals, and this is exactly what we need. And we need more involved, as she so eloquently says. You know, we have to engage, and we have to get others engaged for betterment of our communities, our life, and our lifestyle, because we are in a detrimental state because of the lack of concern, the lack of love for others, and because of money. So again, I digress with that because we just got to get involved. And thank you so much, Kerry, for this platform, because it is much needed. And we must continue.
Well, Terry, can I answer your question with the regulation? There is a regulation, and it's called the Emergency Planning Community Right to Know Act. Listen to that. It's a law. It's called Emergency Planning Community Right to Know Act. So under that act, that is the law that regulates what you're asking about waste. Yes, the companies are required to report those things. Remember that term I gave you, LEPC? They are required under that act, which is a law, to report to the LEPC. So if your city does not have one, we need to create one. And all of those things that you are asking for, Martasia, that is the committee that we should coordinate and get on with all the city councilmen who are sitting here talking. We need to create a LEPC. So those are your acts. Those are under the Congress. You have another one. It's so many of them, but we'll just leave you with your Community Right to Know Act, and that's EPCRA. You can look that up, and that's your environmental.gov, and you'll find all the rest of the information. And once again, that's how you get to know, because it is your community's right to know all of these things, what those companies have, what they are dumping. And to add on to your other question, you are in the middle of three landfills. Landfills produces a gas called methane. Please look it up. You are in a hazardous, toxic, ridiculous area. So quadrant of death, if you want to put the extreme to it. It is a lot of extremes in those areas. So yes, it is a bad waste area for dumping. For all those lists that you went down, once again, that criteria, it is horrible. It is extreme. So please keep that in mind. And yes, we have a fight against us to mitigate this and stop it. So please, community, look up EPCRA, Emergency Planning Community Right to Know Act, and Martasia, that satisfies the committee. Get it together.
Gina Bird, is that you speaking?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. A question. Did you just say that there's also three land fields there in the area as well?
Tina, you know the statistics, right? Isn't that what's there?
Yes.
Three. Oh, my God. Okay.
Yes.
This is crazy. So, yo, I'm going to have to repeat my own list because this is starting to scare me, period. So you're saying 496 pedophiles, a parole office, multiple waste companies, I think someone said four, multiple trucking companies, a gas drilling site, and three landfills?
The waste
not just
are
one gas
drill. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tina.
No, she said one gas well. I was saying that there's a gas well that sits right next to the park. It sits between Peridog Park and WM Green. So that's one of the gas wells.
You got two gas
wells. There are several gas wells
there's
in
several.
The area. There are several.
God.
And one of the things I wanted to point out, it's at Echo Heights nationally. I know 76104 is state, but Echo Heights ranks very high nationally in pollution. And I know people, and I'm not trying to inflame people, but I know people rightfully so are upset about the amount of black and brown people killed by the police. But hundreds of thousands of Americans die prematurely each year from pollutants in their communities. This is Americans, hundreds of thousands. And most of these people are black and brown, so there's a whole lot more people dying from zoning within their community than what the police are killing. So that's something that needs to be brought to attention. And this is a question for Gina. Gina, can you mention some of the pollutants that comes from trucks and industrial areas and communities?
Well, we won't go into the education role of it, so just know that it's over 40. It is over 40 toxic, hazardous materials. Let's put that in our brain. Hazardous materials that pollute from truck idling. When trucks are just sitting there idling, and as all of those trucks are in those neighborhoods, All of that pollution is being emitted into our ozone. We won't go to the statistical science part of it, because that's when you go into the particulates that are in the air, all of those things, and that's what's happening in our Echo Heights. So, yes, over 40 hazardous materials are being emitted just by trucks turned on. They're not even doing nothing. The company doesn't even have to do anything. If all those trucks are on, just coming on and off at the same time, that's what's polluting the air, and all of those chemicals are going up and falling down. You're sucking air. That's the air that you're sucking over there. So just be mindful of the toxic tour. That's the toxic tour. When you walk in there, you're sucking all that air with all that exhaust and that whatever that is, all compounds. It's so many compounds, so we won't get into it. But it's a lot of those in the air that you're sucking. So think of it on that level. And, yes, that's what they're dealing with. They cannot go outside, all of those toxins. And, once again, it needs to be air monitoring. It needs to be all of those things over there. And, yes, it does need to be regulated. Those companies need to be regulated. Once again, all of those things, EPCRA, your Emergency Planning Community Right to Know Act, you can go to the companies. It is your right to know, to ask them to provide those things. And you can go to your city council, which is they on here and they know, and your community is mobilized and let them know that you don't want it here, get it out of here. And that's what needs to happen.
And this is Chen. I just want to say again, remember that there are thousands of trucks doing this in this one little community. And that's not even to mention all the other chemicals associated with the various companies. That's just for the trucks.
Wow.
The thousands.
Sheena Polk, we haven't heard from you in a while. If it is proven that your soil is contaminated, the water over there is contaminated, that the air has pollutants that aren't safe for the people that live in the community, how does the city make it right? Should you all sue the city, or should the city relocate you all to a better area where this is not a problem? How do they fix it?
I would say we should sue the city, and in turn, they fix it as well, because we've been there over, some of us have been there over 50 years. And so now that we know that our voices can be heard, I mean, we just have to, as you mentioned, attend the city hall meetings, and we can't stop until it's done. And I know you didn't ask me the question as far as what I would request from the city, but WM Green Elementary has not had curbs on their street since I attended WM Green back in the 70s. So I just wanted to ask the city about the curb for the elementary students. How are you going to add 18-wheelers or even more traffic to the street as far as with the children? How can that be done? And so just like anything else, we can't stop until it's done. We can email, we can call, we can show up. And we just have to invite the city of Fort Worth to our annual family day and let them know that we are a family in Echo Heights. We stand together, and we won't stop until they make some changes in our neighborhood.
But it seems to me, remember when Flint hit and everybody was seeing the poor people of Flint, that poor contaminated water over there, and what are those, up there, what are those people going to do? But it seems like, in my opinion, Echo Heights is the Flint of Fort Worth. It really is.
Not just Echo Heights. Not just Echo Heights. Put that in your brain. It's not just Echo Heights. So, yes, Echo Heights is one of the highest. But remember, these are throughout the communities, black and brown. You have several throughout Fort Worth that are like, not just one community. So put that in the larger.
It's not.
And we have to get exposure, just like the water in Flint, Michigan. We have to get exposure until something is done.
And Sheena, I don't think you understood the question, and I'm going to ask it a different way. If it is determined that your soil is contaminated, that your water is contaminated, and that the air is not safe, do you feel that they should relocate you all to a better area?
I'm going to say most of the people are content in their houses and their spaces. Most of them are either generational homes, and they've raised up their children there. And one of the guys at the Leon Haley group actually ask if they could buy the people out over the community so that they could put their trucking company there. For the most part, please understand, it's not about money over life. It's like you want to live life and spend your money. So don't come to us saying, well, let us just buy you out the house a little bit. It's so much of a history in the Echo Heights area that I wouldn't, even if they offered me the money, I wouldn't sell because I have so much history, and that's where we started it. It's a point like that. I don't want to just give up my known for something I'm not sure about. So why would I want to move into a different location when I can actually protect the one that I'm in? Or I'm already paid for where I'm at. I put in the work, the sweat, and the tears in the community that I am in for you to just say, hey, well, we don't really care about the work that you've done, but we're willing to pay you out of the work that you've done. You can never compensate any of us on this phone, especially Ms. T or Ms. Sheena. You can never compensate us for the work, the life, and the lives that we shared and the history and the memories that are in this area. So instead of trying to remove us, why not just go ahead and clean up the area and the mistakes that they've made? We didn't do the mistakes. We're homeowners, and we chose to build or move into this community. We've chose to raise our families and our children over in this community. Don't come along and just shake money in front of our faces and say, hey, why don't you just pick up and move on? We're not nomads. We're not going to keep moving around. That's the area that we chose to build in. That's the area we chose to live in and raise our family. Who are you to come and tell us that we need to stop doing that and relocate somewhere else because you don't want to make things right by what the things that you've already damaged in the community?
Wow.
And that's pretty much what I was saying, to get the exposure out of what the problem is. We don't want to move.
You don't want to move. Okay. Wow.
No. And that's what I was saying.
Wow. I probably would take the money and go across town because for the fear that the environment would eventually kill me.
No. Well, it depends on if you have sentimental value. As I mentioned, I've been there since a child. And so I have lifelong friends there. We actually donate to W.M. Greene Elementary. We are a family. So, no, we're not interested in picking up and moving. We would like for things to be corrected in our neighborhood.
Wow.
And the environment can be preserved. They can clean it up. So the happy medium, the medium is the companies can clean it up. And you hearing what the community want, there can be a compromise. So if they do the studies, put the air monitors, and regulate the companies with the city, the LEPC, all of those things, that is the happy compromise. But that's the work at it, you guys. That's the work. That's the come together that we have to come to after this radio. And Ms. Terry, get us back on again. But after this radio, we're going to come together. Next time we should have this LEPC started, and we're tackling this beast. You get it? So let's move forward with it. So
absolutely. Martasia, okay, who's speaking?
This is T. I wanted to add to the history of Echo Heights. When President Kennedy was alive, when he was running for the presidency, he promised affordable housing for African Americans in urban areas. So Echo Heights actually on Pecos Street have some of those homes from President Kennedy's housing bills that were built on Pecos Street. So I just wanted to put the historical basis in on that. And also some people did want the experience of living so close to the lake as well. So
even though you can't access it from your side.
Even though we can't access it, it's always hope that the city's going to do the right thing and make it accessible. It's like really Arlington Lake is a tale of, it tells a whole story. When you look at Arlington Lake, if you go to the predominantly white and more affluent side of the lake, it's beautiful. But when you come across to the black and brown side of the lake, you have salvage yards, industrial businesses, we don't have restaurants, shops, stores like this, but we don't have any of that. So that lake in itself tells the whole story. That's like the railroad track from the back in the day, how the railroad track used to separate. Now we got this lake, but the thing of it is that those people living in those beautiful homes in Arlington Lake, the same pollution that we're dealing with over here is coming to them as well. They're not – the pollution don't stop and say, hey, I'm not going to stop here. It's affecting them as well.
This is true. Y'all want to go to the phone line? Okay, let me find that number again.
And actually, Carrie, Ms. Hines, we would like for you to come and take the toxic tour so you can see the differences. I know you're speaking to us, but it'll be better for you to come by and take a look and observe what we're dealing with in Echo Heights.
I am planning that tour. I'm trying to plan that tour for this weekend. I am very interested in seeing that because, you know, it's one thing to report on it, but it's another thing to see it. So absolutely, I'm trying to make that happen this weekend. I just had mentioned that, but I'm trying to make that happen this weekend. Y'all, we're going to the phone
yes.
line, 682-367. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 682?
Yeah, sorry. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm fairly new to this area. I live in the Echo Heights neighborhood. I've lived here about 4 years. And these ladies that are on this call that have been talking for almost two hours now, I will attest that they get out on foot and they interact with community. I learned a lot in the last 6 months I don't know how long they've actually been together, but they're long-term residents. I'm new to this area. I'm not going to lie. I'm not black or brown. I'm American Indian. Most people see that they think I'm white. But I was drawn to this neighborhood because of the atmosphere that was here. I didn't know when I moved here about the community events. I didn't know about the picnic at the Prairie Dog Park. And the community that I came from was a mid-sized community. And we didn't have anything like that. And these were higher class communities. I'm not meaning that derogatory. But we didn't have any community environment like that. And so, you know, I'm on the environmental issues. Yeah, I'm getting more passionate about it as I'm learning about it. But you've got a community here that's a community. It's not just a neighborhood. It's a group of people that there's two and three generations that have lived in this area. And I mean, the grandparents are there, the parents are there, the kids are there. They're all close together. They're families. They're not just people living next door to each other. And that was the type of community that I definitely wanted to be a member of. And so in the last two or three months, I guess, I've really beginning to get involved with the coalition, getting involved with the neighborhood association, to try and learn more about the community itself and share, share with each other and hopefully become a part of the community. And everybody in the area that I've talked to, they're friendly. They're willing to communicate. They're willing to work with you. I'm not seeing in a lot of other areas that I've lived. I don't see that situation. And so this is an old school community, and that community environment is something I don't see anymore. So I absolutely love it. T earlier today, she literally dropped by the house and did a handwritten note to let me know because I wasn't home. She let me know, hey, all of this is going on this evening, and this is what they do. They let us know. If people are listening in, they have no idea what's going on. These ladies that have been in this call for the last hour and a half or so, they're out here. They're going to knock on your door eventually. They did mine, and they keep going. So hats off to each one of them. So hopefully that's just my two cents. I just wanted to share that before the close of the session tonight.
Well, can I ask you a question? When you came into the area, were you aware that all of this was going on with all the environmental issues going on in the Echo Heights community?
Oh, no. Really? I didn't even know about that 6 months ago, and I've lived here almost 4 years.
Really? So can I ask were you so out of the loop? I mean, in terms of can you not see what's going on around you, or were you just, like, totally oblivious? Like, you know, what's going
oblivious.
On?
Oblivious. Oblivious.
Wow.
I drive back and forth to my work every day. The streets are beat to pieces. My pickup, I've got a good, it's a good size pickup. And that thing gets beat around every day. It's like running on the back roads in the country. But I grew up in the back in the country, so I'm used to, you know, I'm used to that. I just accepted it as this is the normal. And now I'm learning, wait a minute, this is not the normal, and it doesn't have to be this way. Somebody has chosen to let it be this way. And so now we're trying to say, hey, wait a minute, this can't be, this can't continue. And that's part of the reason that I'm getting involved is we can't let this continue. I live fairly close to the school. They were going to put trucking hub and everything else. I've never heard of that happening. You might see houses next door, but you're definitely not going to see big tractor trailers running in and out right in front of a school. All kinds of wrong. If nothing else, it's morally wrong, in my opinion.
Wow. Thank you so much for calling in tonight, caller. Thank you so much for chiming in.
Thanks.
You know, Tim James, before we get out of here tonight, you did a video sometime back about an explosion of some type at the drilling site of the oil drilling. Can you elaborate on that and what happened when you all were checking into exactly what the, you know, what had occurred?
So I think it was March the 28th of this year. I was getting ready to leave to go to work and drop my son off for school. And I heard like a big boom. I come on out the front door, look over to the right, and there's all this black smoke spewing into the sky. Didn't know what it was, but it had a fume and a taste to it. But I couldn't stop at the moment because, of course, like I stated, I was on my – I began recording before I left. So I started recording, I think it was 7:38 a.m. And I dropped my son off of school. I went to work. I came back on my lunch break at 12, and I had called a couple of people to let them know what was going on. And so there was a guy from – I think he said he was from the environmental something. Anyways – he went in, and this, on my way back now, the black smoke is still spewing. It's like 12:30, 1 o'clock. So he went in, and he spoke to the people, the foreman at the location, who indicated to him that it had just happened, and they were working on it, and that they would have it shut down within the hour because it had just happened less than 10 minutes before he got there. That's what he told the environmental guy. And
wow.
So he said, you called? And I said, yes. He began speaking to me or whatever. He said, well, I spoke to the foreman there, and he said it just happened, and they have someone servicing it, and it should be fixed shortly. I said, he said, it just happened? He said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And I said, so with this being polluted in the air, what's going to happen? She said, nothing, because it just happened, and they're servicing it right now. And I said, sir, please let me show you this. And I showed him the video at 7:38 that morning, that this smoke had been going from 7:38 that morning until almost 1:15 that afternoon. And then the foreman guy had just told him it just happened. So after viewing the video, he went back to the foreman, and he said, sir, I have proof that this has been going since 7 something this morning, at which time he told me he gave him a fine of $2,500. Now, I can't confirm nor deny if they received that fine, but I can confirm that even after that, this stuff was still going on. And so I called code police officer and I forwarded the information to our city councilman. They're all aware of it, that the trucks aren't supposed to be traveling through the community after 5 in the evening and before 6 in the morning. And so, but they're still doing it every night. And so my son started getting in trouble because he started sleeping in class. And so when the coach called me, and teacher called and asked me, I said, I didn't know that. He expressed, well, Mom, I can't sleep with all that noise, like somebody's beating on stuff all times of night because the fracking site or the gas well is less than 300 feet from his window. And so he's having a hard time sleeping because of this. So I report this, and they said, well, they're not supposed to. Well, who's coming over here watching them and verifying that they're not? I'm showing you a video every other night that they're still coming. At, I just showed one recently at 12:15 a.m. in the middle of the night, there's trucks coming in and out of there at 12:15 a.m. And I posted that video. And they said, oh, well, they're allowed to. No, they're not allowed. They're not supposed. We are a community. We have jobs. We have families. We have times to go to sleep and times to get up. And this is a disturbance in our community where we can't get a comfortable night's rest because these trucking companies or these trucking, they're coming in and out all times of night. I think, Mrs. Carey, you were able to speak to some of the people in the front, right in front of it, Mr. White, yeah. Mr. Miller, I can't think of his last name, but they're right in front. Just think it's less than 100 feet from their front door when they're trying to get up and go to work. And sometimes, like the truck had broke down the other night right in front of their house, and they had to drive off the grass medium in order to get out of their parking lot to go to work because the truck had broke down right in front of their house.
It's just unacceptable.
But if you own, a trucking a truck, and I'm gonna just say this: my husband and I, we own a trucking company. And I remember one day he came home and he parked his trailer in the backyard. His tractor, I'm sorry, not the trailer, but his tractor in the backyard. We have an acre lot, but he parked his tractor in the backyard. We got a ticket the following morning, and mind you, the truck was gone before code opened. Not that we was trying to scheme or run around it, but the next morning, about, I think that's when I told y'all that Cecilia came over, Cecilia Bell, and she didn't see the vehicle, but the Neighborhood Association president took a picture of the vehicle, and she forwarded it to him, to them. But I'm taking pictures and videos constantly of this trucking company who doesn't stay in the community, who's not paying taxes in the community, who are not residents in the community, and it's okay for them to run up the street all time of the night and damaging our streets and everything. And he came home one night because he had to be gone at 3. So he came home at 11, parked it at 3 so he can get up and be gone. Not saying that that's okay, but at the same time, we are homeowners, we're residents, we pay property taxes, and we get a citation for bringing our tractor home, but you have a truck coming down here with at least over 200,000 pounds, not 200,000 pounds, I'm sorry, 80,000 pounds is just a tractor. And then when you add a flatbed on it, that adds another 130 to that. So it is 200,000 pounds. But you have all this coming back and forth with the trucking companies with this gas well, and it's okay for them. And I even went so far as to reach out to Mr. Bowman, which is the pastor at Greater Mount Table Church. He owns that gas well site. His name is up on it. I posted the information to so many people. Listen, this is owned by Mr. Mike Bowman and Greater Mount Table Church. That's the name of the gas well. But when he got the money for the gas well being put in there, he built him two homes at an Arlington for him and his children. So you don't even have to deal with what you receive compensation for. You don't even have to deal with it because you moved on the clear side of the city so that you can have this nice upscale suburban area, and you don't have any pollution. You don't have the trucks coming in and out. You don't have any stoppings or problems with the street that you stay on thanks to the money that you receive from the gas well that now we have the problems with because you don't stay over here.
Wow. Y'all, we got to get ready to close, but what we're going to do is we're going to take final comments from everybody in, 60 seconds or less, please. So I'm going to start with you, Antonio. Final comments. What would you like to say to the city about your situation in 60 seconds or less?
Well, that's what I would say is, let's save lives. You know what I'm saying? Start by stopping. We start by stopping what you're doing, and let's save lives.
Right.
Now, again, that means, so with that being said, not only that, let's hold these companies and what have you accountable for what they're doing and their position, and let's start cleaning up and start doing what it takes to make sure that we're comfortable in our communities. You know, we're tired of running over raggedy streets. We're tired of smelling, the olfactory of something other than flowers. We're sick and tired of the disenfranchisement of our lifestyle. Let's stop and just start to stop.
Yeah. Okay. Something's going wrong with her. Martasia, can you hear me? Okay, some got away. Anyway, you know what? Maybe it was me asking that question. Martasia, can you hear me? Okay.
Yes,
let's pretend the city manager, your mayor, and your council person are listening. What would you say to them about the situation in Echo Heights?
I would say to them that I feel as though the fact that we're in this situation. Can you hear me?
Okay. Now we can hear you now. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I would say to them that the fact that we're in this situation, the fact that we're in an ongoing dispute with you guys about where you're going to want to be.
Can you?
Huh?
Okay, yeah, we're going to get something else. Okay. This is funny. I mean, it happens, y'all. I say it one more time.
Well, just because we keep losing connection, I would say that this is, it's sickening to the fact that we have to keep coming back and forth to you guys about the same thing.
Y'all, we're having technical difficulties at the end. I guess they were not going to let y'all say them puns are coming. Let's try one more. You hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
We heard her, too.
Oh, I could hear her. Okay, with my phone light. Okay. So did you finish your comment, Martesi, because I couldn't hear it?
I basically just said that the fact that we have to keep going back to city council and the fact that we've already went to zoning and zoning has denied this with prejudice, sure, with any questions or concerns in regards to our zoning and our air pollution in our neighborhood, altogether, our environment.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Okay, the problem is on my end. I can obviously tell. It's like you're going in and out, and I haven't had this problem all during the show.
Yeah, we can hear her. All of us can hear her.
I don't know what's going on, y'all. Listen, we got 5 minutes left in the show, so I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to make a plea to the city council for y'all. Listen, dear Maddie Parker, our mayor, dear David Cook, our city manager, and dear Gina Bivens, the city council person over this Echo Heights Stop 6 community, these people need your help. So I'm making a plea for them tonight that our mayor, our city manager, and your council person needs to get over to your community and do the toxic tour and see me and Antonio Twin about someone who knows how to do soil samples, and they're going to get with you. I won't mention their names, but they're going to help you all do soil samples for your community. And so that should help a whole lot. But obviously, your leadership downtown needs to get involved because otherwise it's almost basically stamping death certificates because it appears to me that people will continue to die in this community unless our city leadership the pollution in this community, period. All right, y'all,
yes.
Listen.
I just want to thank all the citizens of Echo Heights for everything that they've done to come, you know, they've always been a family, but I just want to thank them. You know, they've been so wonderful. I just, you know, in spite of everything,
I
said earlier, they're a family. I just want to thank them.
Wow. Thank y'all. And thank you all for coming and being to James and even Crystal. Thank you. I hope you feel better. We're praying for you. T. Wilburn, Sheena Polk, Tina James, and Gina Bird. Thank you all for chiming in tonight and telling us what's going on at Echo Heights. We're praying for y'all. We're going to do all we can to connect you all with any other resources that we have that can help get the story out. Thank you to the audience tonight for listening. Listen, tonight we did this show out of rotation. Because a lot of things are going on this week, and I could not do the show tomorrow night. So, and also, we wanted to get the show on and not delay it another week. So we want to say we will be back in regular rotation next week from 7 to 9 p.m. on Friday night. Also, listen, if you have a church, a business, a product, or service, and would like to advertise it here on Let's Talk Fort Worth, drop me a line at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com, and we will work with your budget to make it happen. Also, if you like what we do here at Let's Talk Fort Worth and like to be a sponsor, again, drop me a line at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. We ask that you follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page called we would love for you to follow us on our Facebook page because we have updated content every single day. So what's going on in Fort Worth is definitely being posted on that page every day. And if you have a show idea for the show, drop me a line. Again, it's the same email, letstalkfortworth@aol.com, and I definitely will consider the topic. Okay, y'all, listen until next week.
Wait, last minute, let me just say, we also have a page on Facebook, which is the Echo Heights Stop 6 Environmental Coalition. Everyone, make sure you invite and also accept, we're accepting invitations to become members on our page. Take a look at it and view everything.
Wonderful. Anybody else got any final comments before we get out of here?
NAACP.org, Fort Worth, look into us. We're an Environmental Coalition Justice Program. Gina Bird, NAACP Fort Worth. Check us out.
Thank y'all. Listen, until next week, good night.
Good night.
Good night.